Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 385. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I am here with Jeff Chorney.
And what up?
Jesus okay. Christ.
What was that about?
I have no idea. My mic decided to be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to work right now.
I want to be far away. And Travis Baum.
Well, that just stole all my thunder. Whatever.
I hate it when people do things that are funnier than money. Okay, anyway, today we are going to do our most anticipated games. That'll be after the break. Before then, we're going to do some distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, and we'll talk about next week's question of the week. So, but before we do any of that, we have to see what's going on, and we'll start with Travis this week. Travis, what's up, buddy?
Hey! Nothing much, man. Just busy at work. We're kind of transitioning over to me kind of taking over the video department, so we're slowly filtering out all the old clients, and any current clients that we haven't done video shoots for or any future clients are going to come towards me. So it's a lot more responsibility for the same amount of pay I was making last time. So I don't know how that worked out.
You're a sucker. That's how that worked out. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah,
buddy.
you make sacrifices in a startup. Yeah. But no, a lot of cool opportunity and everything. We had some cool clients come in the door and everything. So we had a main character actor from Blue Mountain State, who was one of the principal actors on that show, came in and needs to do a demo reel. And there's actually a really cool possibility that's coming up. We're working out the specifics right now, but there's April 8th, somewhere between April 8th and the 16th, I won't be able to record. This guy's taken us out to film some stuff for his nonprofit over in Puerto Rico. And it's basically a nonprofit for underprivileged children who don't get to do very much in that area. And they teach them how to paddleboard, teach them how to boogie board, just give them a nice fun day in the sun when usually they don't get a chance to do that. So yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. And it's just cool that we're, you know, grasping for more, interesting clients. Cause I mean, the real estate stuff pays the bills, but you kind of get bored of it after a while. You want to make sure you're pumping in some other interesting content. So, and also found out that another video I did a while back, there was this kid that had cancer, brain cancer, and he ended up, he survived it. He got a successful surgery, which was really cool. Shout out to Nick Price. He doesn't listen to this, but hey, I want to put that in the ether. But one of the cool things that happened from that, we went to his parents threw a big thank you bash for everyone who took part in it, and we got the invitation for it. So Megan and I went, and we found out at that time that a producer from the Outdoor Network, I think that's what it's called. Apparently it is a channel that exists. But one of the producers of one of the shows on that network saw that video that I made, and he was like, man, this kid, he's got charisma. He speaks really well. He could die from this thing in his brain, and he is all smiles, and all he does is worry about his parents, and they just loved him from the start. So he actually got picked up for an episode or two of this reality show, this outdoor reality show, because of that video. So we were able to do some really, really cool stuff, so I'm kind of excited about that. That's www.digicoagency, guys. Check it out. Pay me. that's pretty much it, guys. It's been work since I've been getting this new responsibility. But it's fun. I'm happy. Making money.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
Jeff,
what's up, man?
Not too much happening here. This weekend's All-Star game. It's in Toronto. So everyone's going crazy because all the NBA players are here and shit. We're not doing too much. We're going to have a bunch of people over Saturday night to watch some of the festivities just here in the theater room in our condo.
Sure.
And I have 5 days off, basically. I took a couple days off for Street Fighter. So when's this episode coming? Oh, it's probably going to release Monday, so never mind.
Yeah.
So that should be fun, hopefully. And just going to relax and chill and make a bunch of food on Saturday. And
nice.
With a bunch of friends, and it should be good times.
Going to make some chimichangas.
I'm going to go see Deadpool tomorrow.
So. Was it going to make some chimichangas for your party in celebration of Deadpool?
We're going to go see Deadpool tomorrow, and it's my first time. I've never been to a VIP theater, so it'll be a first time. So it should be great.
Yeah, we have a theater here in Charleston called Cinnabar that when you walk in, it's got a full service bar. So beer, spirits, and everything. You can sit at the bar and get hammered while you wait for your movie to, you know, the doors to open up. And of course, it's one of those places where you can, like, you know, hit your light and, you know, a server will come by and, you know, you can order food. You can do all kinds of stuff, but you can keep drinking. You can get buckets of wine on ice. But they're actually serving chimichangas. They don't usually serve it on their menu, but for the night of Deadpool, I think it's tonight actually, they're serving chimichangas for people who want to get it for Deadpool, which is really funny. Inside joke for Deadpool fans. Yeah. But yeah, that's all I had to say about that. I apologize. Please continue.
No, that's it. Chris?
Oh, yeah, you know, nothing much, you know, except for, oh, the Broncos won the Super Bowl. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that did happen.
That did happen. I was wrong, and I'm glad I was wrong. So, but yeah, that was a good time. We had, had people over, including my in-laws who were, rooting for Carolina. So that was, unusually uncomfortable at times. Go ahead.
I know you're happy and everything, but this has been the most aggravating Super Bowl.
Why is that?
Get into the after shit. Don't.
My whole beef. I won't even get. Not even talk specifics. The political shit has got to stop. And it's sports. It's football, man. Enjoy the game. Like the game at times was very hard to enjoy when you have a defensive struggle, or just a defensive game between two teams. Period. It's not going to be the most interesting game. So that doesn't help the fact that there was extreme controversy, you know, in the week to follow. But it's like all they talk about, and it's aggravating. Like, we should be talking about the renewal going into a preseason for other teams. We should be talking about the celebration for Denver. And there's really none of that in everyday news. Like, they have to go it's such a pain in the ass that and it's a media thing. Like,
that's why I don't look to everyday news for anything related to sports.
Right.
You know, I got, like, you're talking about the celebration of Denver. I watched all of that on NFL.com. They had all of it. They had the entire parade. They had, like, all the speeches afterwards. They had all the interviews and everything. And I just watched that. There was no, no political bullshit being thrown around. It was all just, like, straight up.
Except on the ticker at the bottom of the screen, keeping you up to date with all the fucking dirt. I mean, people want to bitch about Cam. They want to bitch about Beyonce. Yeah. They want to bitch about Peyton. They want to bitch about this and that. Who gives a fuck? It's the Super Bowl.
Like, it's also about the internet. Football. And that's all they do is bitch and complain.
And it's going to get worse. I mean, as more and more people are connected.
I hope not. I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. Out of everything that happened, I think what annoyed me the most was Peyton Manning dropping Budweiser twice. I'm like, come on.
Well, you know, they research.
Yeah, I know he has stake in Budweiser.
Yeah, he owns one of the breweries.
Like, why do you own that? Just go get better beer.
How about you go and make your own craft beer company and make millions off that?
He probably could. He probably could. It was a good time.
The kicker. Get it?
No, nope. Jeff. Chris, please continue. Don't mind him.
Sorry. It was a good time. We had you know, we grilled out and just watched the game, and it was a fun watch. I like defensive games like that. I think they're interesting.
Said only Chris ever.
No, that is not true. That is not true at all. I think it's I mean, don't get me wrong, shootouts are fun too, but when there's like that good a defense on both sides, I think it's fun to watch then too.
I think it's definitely fun for people who appreciate defense and understand defense.
Yeah. Or at least
people
a fan,
who just like watch it.
But also, if
like,
you're a fan of the Broncos, you're going to be a fan of the performance too, though.
Yeah.
From the outside looking in, it's not
partially true. Yeah. But I'll be honest with you. I enjoyed watching Carolina's defense this year too, because they're like ball hawks. I mean, they were like plus 20 in the turnover ratio. I'm like, how did you do that?
Yeah, it's
like
pretty
that,
sick.
That watching them in that game against the Cardinals was just ridiculous, man. I was like, that was fun to watch, you know, because they were seriously just making life a living hell for the Cardinals. So that's something that's changed about me in the past probably 3 or 4 years, that I really think I really enjoy watching the defense now because of how much more I understand it and that kind of thing. But the Super Bowl was a fun time, and now it's over, and now we have to wait until September.
Now it's all talk of salary caps and
how much are they going to pay Von Miller, and
ad drops, are we going to get trades?
Is your team going to look the same next year? And yeah, it's Oh, yeah, and the combines this year. It's like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Or this month, sorry. But yeah, besides that, it's work. Got some, you know, good news from work this week that I'm not going to really talk about, but, it was good news. So that's always nice. I have a buddy of mine who's going through a really tough time and, been trying to help him with that. And, you know, just trying to be, it's been on my mind. That's the only reason I mentioned it. I'm not going to go into details, but it has been on my mind because, you know, when one of your friends is going through a tough time, you want to try and be as good a friend as you can and be there for him and things like that. And, yeah, I've just been going through some of that too, but yeah, that's about it. And games.
There were video games.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a thing. So let's talk about that. Let's move on. Let's say, Jeff, why don't you go first? What's distracting
this week? What did I play this week? Play some Halo 5.
I'm asking you that.
I'm asking myself that.
I pull
up my list and stretch for about 3 seconds. I played some Peggle 2, because that's our, like, when we've had too much to drink from playing Halo, we go to Peggle 2, because you don't have to really concentrate on anything.
This is true.
Yes. I started playing Dying Light again. I started all over, because I was thinking about maybe getting the Following. Is it called the Following? Whatever the expansion is.
I think it's something like that.
But I'm probably not going to get it now, because after playing through Dying Light, I'm like, yeah, this is fun. But I kind of remembered why I kind of stopped playing it in the beginning. Just kind of starts really slow, and I just don't really like the way the map, not the map is laid out, but the quests kind of. It's kind of hard to explain it, to be honest with you. It's a lot of fetchy quests.
Right.
And with not that much reward. And
Dead Island was like that a little bit, right?
Yeah, I never played Dead Island.
So every time I see someone talk, hear someone talk about Dying Light or see someone playing it online, I always ask myself, why am I not playing this game? This right up my alley. Zombies, first person,
It's really good. It's just, I realize why I stopped playing it after about, I think I got more than 50% of the way through it the first time I played it. And I'm probably still going to keep playing it, to be honest with you. I just think I leveled up my dude terribly the first time. And, but I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I think you'd like it. I don't see why you wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't either. Is there a co-op? Online
there
co-op?
There is co-op, yeah.
Okay.
Once you do the tutorial area, it's co-op from the entire game. So.
Okay, cool.
Up to 4 people, I think.
Up to 4, really?
I think it's 4. 3 or 4. I've definitely played co-op with at least 3 of us, so I can confirm 3 people at least, possibly 4.
Okay. You're on Xbox on that joint, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're on PlayStation?
On PS4, yeah.
I will get with you later on in the week. I may pick that up before The Division comes out.
Cool. And then what I'll do is I'll just stay where I am right now, because I'm not too further after the beginning. So if you do pick it up, then let me know. So you won't have to catch up or anything like that. That's pretty cool. I downloaded the Hearts of Stone.
I may have done that as well.
The expansion. I'm not too far. I'm only about 2.5 to 3 hours into it. It's just starting to get good. It starts off pretty slow, but now it's starting to get pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a shift. Halfway through the first third of the DLC, I'll say. And I'm going to tell you, Jeff, I mean, I'll go ahead and do it. I'll go ahead and talk about it right now, because I think, and I'll just lay it out for you right here, I think it's the best stuff. In terms of, like, the overall story and the main narrative of The Witcher is really good, really strong. You feel for what you're doing. You want to accomplish this goal.
Yeah.
Most games just arbitrarily have, you know, Assassin's Creed games or Watch Dogs or something. They arbitrarily have this thing you have to solve, and you go solve it and game over, roll credits. But you really, really want to get down to the bottom of, where is Ciri? Is she alive?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, finding out more about the Wild Hunt. Like, you want to do these things because you feel it. And, they take that mentality of that main narrative, like that looming, hanging over your head main narrative. And they take it into a syringe and jam it down this game's throat, because every single piece of content that I've gone through, and again, that beginning is a little bit slow to catch up, but once you get the main kind of plot twist, they never stop coming, and it's something different every single time. So every mission, you're doing something super, super special. You know, one mission, they're going to give you some winks and nods to, you know, GTA heist missions, and another one's going to be kind of like an out-of-body experience that they
really
do.
Well, that's kind of what they did throughout the main game, too. That's what I really liked it so much.
But I think they do it so much better. I think it's some of the best content in The Witcher between the DLC and the main narrative. It's absolutely phenomenal. I love what they do. They put you in situations where, you know, the voice actor for Geralt gets to actually, you know, spread his wings a little bit and do a little bit more. Even the facial capture for Geralt, you know, things happen in the story where that changes a lot. You know, he's a witcher. He's mutated. So he's very stoic. He's lost his emotions. He can't cry. He can't, you know, it's hard for him to crack a smile or just convey anything. And some things happen in this game where that changes and you see it like you've never seen before. And it's just fantastic, you know. And they bring.
What level are you when you started doing it?
You got to remember, this is on my New Game Plus because I beat my New Game Plus.
Oh, so playthrough
already. Yeah, so I'm currently right now level 67.
Oh goddamn! Yeah, I'm only like 34 or something like that.
Yeah, and 32 is the starting point, I think. For
it starts you at 32 if you just buy that and not the main game. Yeah, so I'm kicking through with that. I really like it so far. I'll probably beat it relatively soon. I wouldn't be surprised to have it done before the next time we record because
it doesn't seem very long.
Yeah, I think it's like about 10 hours, and that's probably generous with.
Yeah, I think that's extremely generous. Yeah, it's they do add more side missions. Like you'll see some side mission contracts, and you'll see there's some treasure hunts, and they do a good job because
they don't really do those
in the mission, the quest list. Everything's highlighted in blue,
so it's blue, so
really
you know
easy to tell. Yeah. So I mean, CD Projekt Red, they do these really small things that a lot of other video game companies won't do, like, but they'll highlight the DLC in blue or do whatever. And it's, I like those little touches and everything. They really think about the user experience, and that shows throughout the entire fucking game, but even more so in the DLC.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm happy with it, man. I do think
it's good. It's a great fucking game.
Yeah. I think we're going to finish it really quick.
And still every time I go back to that game, like, God damn, this game is so fucking good.
So good.
Like, so
game of the year worthy. Some would say.
Some would say. I'm saying specifically the graphics are really good. I'm surprised, like, I'm really actually surprised that it looks even that good on console. I was like, because when you think play other games that are, like, not that graphically intensive or anything, and it doesn't run as well or just doesn't look as good, you're kind of like, how does this look so fucking good? And I don't mean stuff that's, like Tomb Raider or, like, The Order or, like, that kind of stuff, because that's, like, it's more of a linear, like, it's not as big as something like The Witcher. But you look at something that's more open world, I'm like, God damn. It's a beautiful ass world.
Home run.
I bought Firewatch. I haven't played it yet, though. I'm debating whether to wait until Sunday or Monday or one of these I have off, or waiting until they patch, because apparently it doesn't run that well on PS4, and they're looking into patching the frame rate and the tearing. So they said it's coming soon, but they didn't say when. I don't know if I can. I've read some reviews and some people who played it said they didn't have that much of a problem with it, and then I've seen other people say it's the, like, one review actually said, like, he actually felt nauseous playing through it at times. I'm like, well, maybe he's just like that kind of thing doesn't really bug me too much as long as it's not constantly going from like 60 to like 20, as long as it's not doing that kind of thing. So I don't know. I kind of want to start playing it, and then, but I also want to play it in one sitting, so I don't really know what to do. I've seen more positive stuff, people like, yeah, it's not that bad, so I might just go ahead and just play through it on Monday or Sunday. But I wasn't going to get that game. Wasn't even interested in it. Didn't even know what the fuck it really was until this past week. I was like, this game looks... the writing seems awesome. And the voice acting is amazing. So I'm pretty much interested for that reason only.
Yeah, that shit's right up my alley. I really want to play that bad.
That's it. That's pretty much all I played last week.
Cool.
Remember? Yeah. Travis?
Hey.
Hey.
I already went. It's Chris's turn.
Oh, it was just
you already went? That's it?
That's
well,
it.
Talk about The Witcher, yeah.
Okay. I don't have a whole lot to add. I mean, mainly what I played this week was a lot of Gravity Rush. Really enjoying the hell out of that now. I started played some of the package actually comes with all the DLC, so I got to play some of that. Some of it's kind of meh. Just like there's like the maid pack, which is stupid, but then there's a spy pack, which is pretty cool, and then there's like this I forgot the other one. It's basically a military type thing, and I haven't gotten to that mission yet, but like they have specific challenges that go with them too, and I've actually gone through and done all the challenges this time around as well. It's just so much easier and more approachable to do all that stuff with a controller rather than a Vita. And you know, I always felt like the Vita was a pretty good handheld device, but it's still nothing like holding the control in your hands. The first time that I talked about the game, I said that I was already past where I was on the Vita version. I was incorrect. So I went back
and then you get to a point and you're like, I remember this.
This looks very familiar. Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. Cause there's this really, really cool part in the game. And if you've played Gravity Rush, you know that it's a city that, it's essentially floating, right? And, but below it, it's like held up by this sequence of tunnels and weird, like gravity wells and things like that. So, there's a mission in it where you actually go below the city and through all these gravity tunnels, through to where the center of the world. I don't know if you can't really, I'm not sure if I would call it a planet. I just like the world that you're in. And as I'm playing that part, I'm like, I have done this. I must have gotten this far already in the Vita version. And I went back and I was able to, you get a trophy for every mission, every episode that you finish. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back and look at what I did on the Vita version. And lo and behold, I'd gotten to episode 13 or whatever it was. And that was the mission that I was on. And I was like, okay, now I remember this. So now I am past where I was on the Vita version, but the Vita version, I barely did anything. It's like, I didn't do any of the challenges. I didn't really, when I looked back at my progress and my trophies on the Vita version, I barely did anything. So, I am just enjoying this game so much more with the controller on the PS4. It's just amazing to me. But I should have the game complete, and maybe platinumed by the next time we talk. Cause the platinum's not really that hard to get. It's just go and get all, do all the challenges and all that stuff. And it's all stuff that I want to do anyway. So I may have that next time we talk. Then I will probably try and get back into, I need to get back
Metal Gear.
Metal Gear. Yeah. I need to get back into Metal Gear. So that's next on the docket before Division comes out. But, cool. But yeah, that's it. Gravity Rush has been pretty much all I've played.
Okay.
So.
Well, we can talk about some. Pretty much being open soon. So.
Yeah, I know. About that's what I'm worried about.
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say either news or some stuff we're looking forward to, aren't you? That's what you're saying. No?
No, I'm saying let's do some news. Let's move on to some news.
We do have some news.
We got a lot of news.
There's quite a bit. You guys flooded my freaking feed today. I was like, what is going on? It's like, ba-doop, 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 fuck.
Well, Travis dumped five one time. I was like, dude, give him some time to breathe.
Well, I mean, we got to talk about it tonight, so it had to post before the show.
Yeah. So Watch Dogs 2 was somewhat announced during the Ubisoft earnings call this week. It's set to release by the end of fiscal year 2017, which means it would be no later than April 2018. So what do you guys think here? We have some comments actually before we comment. Jeff Wildman says, wow, I thought for sure that was gonna fill the Assassin's Creed void this year. And I agreed. I thought totally that was gonna be this year.
I did too. I thought that they were gonna drop that this year in place of Assassin's Creed.
And to be real, it technically still can. They just gave it a window.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Because they don't have to do set release dates to what's called investors. They just have to say it's fiscal. They just care about what comes out in a fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So, and they're also saving their asses and they're not telling a lie because you cannot really lie to investors. So they could aim for it to be this year, but just be to save their ass, be like, well, if it doesn't come out this year, we didn't lie to them. So they basically put a really big window. So to make sure that didn't happen pretty much. Cause we're kind of wondering what was going to fill that void because Assassin's Creed is not coming out this year, which we've known this for a long time. This is not new. They just came out with a press release today saying why it wasn't going to release, and they just want to, rethink the process of how they do the game and the engine and just what Assassin's Creed is kind of thing. So there is a chance maybe Ghost Recon, still comes out in 2016.
Yeah.
That could be their fall game.
It's possible. Ubisoft does have the Division coming out, and I think they're expecting really, really great things from that. I think their target revenue from the earnings call was somewhere around $670 million.
Yeah.
Where originally, like before the closed beta, before people started getting an idea of what this game was, it was not a lot. Like their expected sales were not a lot. I can't remember the exact number, but yeah, expecting 670 million, that's a tall order for an Ubisoft new IP. But I think now that they're seeing people get their hands on it, there's a lot of chatter online. You know, the Division beta, Division Reddit is blowing up right now. So I think they're starting to see that, you know, this game's going to have some traction. People are going to be into it. It's a good time for it.
I think you still need something in the fall, though. You still can't. Yeah, it's absolutely. You can't release something in March and then be like, well, that's it, guys.
They're going to. Ghost Recon looks like a good candidate for that. But again, like Watch Dogs could. You know, they gave it an extremely open release window.
Yeah.
So it could definitely do that, but hopefully they learned their lesson from the last Watchdog to not speed the process. Take your time.
I don't think they speed the process. I think they made a mistake of showing that shit way too early, and that's why it just seemed like it took forever, and then when it actually did come out, it was like, this is nothing like what you guys showed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just not show anything until they know exactly what it's going to be, and then be like, yeah, it's coming out this fall.
That's true.
We'll see. And with Assassin's Creed thing, Greg Little says, giving consumers a break lets you come back with more anticipation and excitement. Not to mention this gives the creative teams more time to flesh out ideas.
Yeah. And if there's an Ubisoft franchise that needs that...
rest? That break?
It's fucking Assassin's Creed. I mean,
100%, yeah.
I mean, we're going on since early on in the PS3 and 360 life cycle where it was just every single year something new. And yeah, it just gets to the point where it's stale. But I think... And there are rumors of it going to like more Egyptian setting for the next installment and everything. Yeah. So I think, you know, that's a really ambitious area to dig into for Assassin's Creed, and having extra time to go into it, kind of relearn the game, you know, relearn what this game could be. And in the meantime, we have a movie coming out. The movie doesn't look too bad. So Assassin's Creed's still out there, and we're still going to see some stuff.
No one's going to forget about it in a year.
No, not at all. In fact, I think we could probably see coming up into 2018, probably some of the biggest hype for Assassin's Creed since 2. Seeing that it took off some time. So, yeah, it could be a very... it will be an anticipated game, but it could be much better for the series. I like the decision.
To a game that's not, I guess, taking much as a break as people thought, is Bungie said they confirmed that there's going to be a Destiny expansion coming in 2016, and then the full sequel will be 2017.
This doesn't surprise anyone, does it?
No,
they had to make something. I mean, this came out in the usual Thursday weekly update,
right?
And Deej was extremely to the point, very quick in his segment, because usually he just writes diatribe after diatribe, just paragraphs of work. But he had one paragraph and two sentences that bookended the paragraph, and it was just basically saying, "We have stuff coming. Something's coming this year. Full sequel next year. We appreciate your patience. Goodbye." That was it. I think he's going to quit.
I'll be honest with you, it really seems like they're falling apart at this point. You know, it just seems like it's been a downhill, one big downhill ride since they introduced those microtransaction dances. Ever since they added that, it's just been downhill.
Well,
like
Greg Little, again, he says on the news article, he's saying, "I just hope this doesn't mean a continued content drought until then. We'll love some extra PvE content and having a hard time justifying logging in even for these holiday events." So I'm guessing he's thinking, like, if they haven't even announced the expansion yet, it's probably going to be something in the fall.
It definitely will be. If there's nothing to do from now till the fall. They'll announce at E3 and say in 2 months, 1 month and a half, we're going to get, you know, new content. We're going to raise your level. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you a new raid. I mean, at this point, it's not looking good for Destiny. It's just not. And this is coming from somebody, you know, me and Chris both probably put in close to 1,000 hours on this game. And realistically, we're kind of pissed. We would like to have more content for something like this.
I'd be more pissed if I were in your shoes. Because you put so much time into it to get to 320.
Why don't you guys just say, whatever. Why don't you guys just say 1,000 hours is enough? Let's just wait until 2 or wait until the expansion comes out.
And it very may well be.
That's pretty much what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played Destiny regularly since before Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, I've done like the guys have pinged me and said, "Hey, can you do a raid with us?" And I'll do that. But that's pretty much it. I don't plan to play it again until there is a new
substantial content
drop. You know, it's like I played a little bit when they did the Sparrow Racing, and I played for maybe an hour or two, and then it's like, okay, this is only two tracks. I'm done now. You know, it's like
it's not a subscription based thing, so I don't see why people get upset if there's if you put that much time into something, but nothing's coming out for a while. Just okay, just put it down. Yeah. You're done with it. Play some other shit until 2 comes out or until the expansion comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm certainly not upset about what they're doing. I just, you know, I guess I'm just surprised because, you know, the first year we got 3 expansions in the first year.
That's, you know? That's the issue. A precedent was set in the first
year. And now we're not getting anything. You know, it's like, we haven't seen anything since September. In the first year, we had in September, we got the game. In December, we had our first expansion, you know? And granted, it wasn't a huge content drop, but at least it was something, you know? And now it's like, we don't have anything, you know? It's like, oh yeah, hey, look what we're doing for Valentine's Day. No one gives a fuck about the dances you want to charge money for.
No.
You know, it's like.
And I'm going to tell you inherently what's probably one of the bigger pieces of the problem is, you know, months and months ago, when that behind the scenes slide that showed the projections of when content was going to release and what was going to be in those contents, when that got leaked, when that image got leaked, that also set, you know, the pace of what we were expecting in our minds for year one and year two, because it crossed 2 years worth of content. And then in that first year, the content was pretty much on point with what we received. And then by the time year two rolled around, this is after we got the quote unquote Comet expansion. If the Taken King is the Comet expansion, we were thinking it is. But there was still, you know, another major piece of DLC somewhere around spring, summertime. And not only do we know that something's not coming in the spring, summertime, up until today, we didn't know what was coming.
And when everyone figured it was going to be Destiny 2.
Exactly.
Yeah, everyone thought Destiny 2 was coming out this year.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess my big thing is that, you know, it would be nice to have heard, all right, hey, you know, Destiny 2 is coming out this year, and here is a free content pack with a new raid, you know? But we're not going to see that. It's like they basically told us, first of all, they told us they weren't going to have any paid content that would give anybody an advantage. That was bullshit because the stuff that they released for, Sparrow Racing, you could get a race book or something like that. And as you completed it, it gave you gear, right? So that was bullshit. That cost like $10. I didn't buy that. Thank God. Then they said that they were, you know, doing the paid content so that they could, give us like free other content, like free PvE content and shit like that. We haven't seen any of that. Haven't seen any of that.
Nope.
Not anything substantial that would make it worth it. It's like, you know what?
I'm gonna cut this a little bit short, but we've gone over this a million times. Like the pay for shit. So.
Have we? Cause I don't feel like we have.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we have.
Maybe you think we have, but I'm pretty sure we haven't. Not in this topic.
Pause. Maybe not in this specific topic, but the whole, like, what they've done and disappointed people, like what they've said they're gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep it on point here, guys. We've been talking about it now for like 5 minutes. And it's you got an expansion to look forward to. Hopefully in the fall. And if anything, they say that the sequel, everyone knew it wasn't coming out this year. Probably coming out next year. Fall again?
Yeah, probably fall.
Guesses? So, who knows? More Destiny stuff. Just got to wait a bit longer.
Keep it locked.
Exactly. Keep it locked here to our Indus Facebook page. Where we get everything, as soon as some other news outlet puts it online, we will have it too.
The news will break.
Usually an hour later. But we'll get it there. Quantum Break. Was rumored that there's going to be a PC version.
I was trying to give you a segue when I said it's a break. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well done.
That has been confirmed. It is hitting day and date as the Xbox One version. So April 5th. If you pre-order the Xbox One version, you get the PC version for free. And it is cross-save or whatever. You can use your saves and go back and forth.
Okay.
So this blew up the internet. Everyone's going crazy. Well, that's how people do. They just go crazy. And who cares? It's going to PC.
Yay, more people get to play a good video game. Yeah. Yay. Why are people complaining about this?
Exactly.
Oh, is that what's happening? People are complaining?
Yeah. Everyone's just pissed off.
Oh, you said it was
going to
be exclusive.
My end game for Mankensis.
And the opposite of people being like, haha, it's not exclusive. It's coming to the PC. I'm going to get it on PC.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too.
Yeah. What I don't get is like, it's like you realize the people on both sides are just assholes. One, because the people that are bitching and trying to, there's people saying they're going to boycott it because it's not exclusive anymore. Okay. You're going to buy, you're not going to buy a game you wanted to play. And the other side saying, well, I'm just going to buy it on PC. You're still supporting a company that you say you don't want to support by getting on a PC.
That's right.
It's being published on Microsoft on a Windows 10 platform. That's what it's coming out for. It's like, it's not, like, why are people fucking retarded? Sorry for using retarded, but that's fucking retarded. It's stupid. But yeah, so there you go. If you don't have an Xbox One, you can still get that shit on April 5th. I'm trying to see if there's coming out a bundle as well. I'm reading through the comments here real quick to see if there's any kind of things in
I'm
here.
Sorry. So, some of those comments rank up there with the people that were saying, you know, if global health or if national health care gets passed in the U.S., I'm moving to Canada. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to help you.
Exactly. It's so dumb. It's like, really? Like, we pay for that shit here too, assholes. Like, you didn't understand it. Another thing was Alan Wake, American Nightmare is backwards compatibility. I thought it was originally Alan Wake, the first game, but no, it's backwards compatible. The DLC expansion is there. And Ryan Morosky says, I'm excited for Quantum Break, but man, I want an Alan Wake 2. I know it ain't going to happen, but I would love an episodic Alan Wake like they originally intended. If Quantum Break does well, maybe we can squeeze some out on this side.
Yeah, I wouldn't cry at some more Alan Wake for sure.
No, definitely.
That game was fucking great.
Yeah.
I could not get through it. I don't know why. I
didn't get through the DLC.
It didn't pull me in.
Some people don't like good games, Chris. It's okay.
Yeah.
The DLC was great. The American Nightmare was pretty radical. Yeah. They did some cool things.
Yeah, I just found it boring. I don't know.
I could see that. The social subtle, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely slow different. Moving, especially in the beginning. It's very slow moving. So.
Yeah, that is true. Telltale. The Walking Dead is returning on February 23rd, which is very soon, with a three-part miniseries, I guess. Travis is very excited, apparently.
Super excited, yeah.
Why are you excited, Travis?
So it's everybody knows the Telltale series for The Walking Dead takes place. It's canon. It's deemed canon by Robert Kirkman, and it's in the comic book world. So it shares the universe with that, unlike the TV show. And in between after issue 126, there was a time jump in the comic books, and a significant time jump. And then when we got back to the new present day, we found out that Michonne is gone, missing. We didn't know, and she didn't come back for, I think, like 13 episodes. So almost a year without Michonne in the comic book world. We didn't know if we were going to see her again until she popped back up. So what happens in this three-part miniseries, this tells the story of where Michonne was, what she was doing, why she was doing it, what caused her to leave, you know, Rick and her old crew and everything like that. So it's super exciting. I'm really pumped to actually get a key figure in the Walking Dead lore to have them have their own game. This is going to be super hype. And they even announced, now I mean, take this with a grain of salt, even though it's an official announcement, but they're trying to release this month after month after month. So February we'll get episode 1, March, and then April. So hopefully they stick with that timeline, because I wouldn't mind that. But super pumped for this, man. This is gonna be great.
Cool.
Yeah.
We mentioned this I think last week, but there is gonna be a second, or there's gonna be a Division open beta. It's gonna be live from February 18th to the 21st on Xbox One and 19th to 21st on PS4 and PC. So everyone's gonna have a chance to basically play what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, I guess. And they're going to add more content in there. There's going to be more story missions and some more side stuff you can do as well. So it's not going to be the exact same alpha or beta that we played a week ago.
Yeah, we'll be able to also... Cool. The extra story mission will be to find an engineer so we can open up the first level of the engineering section of base.
Yeah.
So that's going to give us the turret perk as well, or the turret ability. So it'll be interesting to see how things shift in the Dark Zone just by adding one new skill. I think it'll be interesting for sure.
All right, that's pretty much the news, man. I think everything else goes back to last week. We already talked about these other things. Anyone else have anything we want to add that's not in here?
Did you talk about Rocket League's?
I was going to say that just because it's pretty much going to be out by the time this releases, but Rocket League is releasing. The release date is February 17th on Xbox One. I guess we didn't talk about that last time. Yeah, they haven't. I think they did announce a price. It is going to be $20, and it's going to come with the DLC. That came with the PS4, PSC.
The DLC is going to be packed in for $20?
Packed in with
yes.
That's fucking amazing.
But I didn't see was the Back to the Future car in there? I didn't see that pack. Is that in there too?
I have no idea.
Okay. I'm not seeing it on the list, so that may be PlayStation exclusive.
Could be.
I'm probably going to double dip. Yeah, it was paid for. It was like $2.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's not too bad. So yeah, so February 17th for $19.99. People better buy it.
I am probably going to double dip on that just because I'm, you know, any way I can get, any, like Rocket League in, I'll play it.
Mm-hmm. And you got it free the first time, right?
Yes. Yes. So I don't mind. But I did buy all the DLC too. So it's not I haven't given them money. But, cool. All right. You guys want to take a break?
I do.
Sure.
I do want to mention, actually, you know what? I'll mention it in our wrap up. Never mind. Just remind me to mention something at the wrap up.
And then mention something in the wrap up.
The
okay,
the weekly reminiscing segment.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, so we're gonna take a break and we'll come back and we'll do most anticipated games, the new releases, and a new question of the week. So stay with us and we'll be right back. Welcome back.
You welcome back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey, most anticipated. Let's do some of that. We got a couple of emails. You guys want to get through those first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go through the listener stuff first.
Cool, cool. All right. Well, we've got the email here. The email's here, and I will do the first one. This one is coming from Greg Schnabel, and he says, "Hey, guys."
Schnabel.
Here's my list for most anticipated games of 2016. Number one, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. Number two, Rise of the Tomb Raider for PS4, since I don't have an Xbox One, and don't see myself getting one this year due to PSVR. Number three, Horizon Zero Dawn. Number four, The Legend of Zelda for Wii U. And number five, Last Guardian. Oh, and he puts in some honorable mentions. We said top five, right? Well, he gave us like nine. So honorable mentions.
Let's go two.
His is short. I'll just run
quick.
PlayStation VR. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD. I already played this on the Wii, but the new Legend of Zelda doesn't come out. I'm going to need a fix. And number three, which is blank. So number four, Mass Effect Andromeda. If it comes out, I will move it up. And he says, I trimmed this down from about 20 games. My wallet is probably, my wallet and probably my wife are going to hate me, if I get all 20 games. Good thing I bought the Best Buy Gamers Club membership. Yes, sir, it is. Good job. Good job. So what do you guys think? Pretty good list?
I think it's a smart, he's a smart man for listening to his wife.
I was like waiting for all nine. I'm like, what?
No, that wasn't nine.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, definitely smart wife.
Yeah, I have. yeah, there's a lot of games on here that I think we're gonna hear more about. So, unless we can move to the next email, if you guys want to do that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll jump into this one. This is, I believe, from MC Wilson. He says, "Dear Indus, of all the games in 2016, the one that excites me the most is whatever Nintendo is making for the NX." Because we know absolutely nothing about it. It's a game of limitless potential. So here's my list of top five most anticipated games that aren't exclusive to the NX.
All right.
Number five, The Last Guardian. Can we really imagine a world in which The Last Guardian is a product you can go to a store and purchase? Sony tells us that this is the year it finally happens, and if it really does make it to stores, I'll be the first one in line to try it.
If there was a game in the history of Indus that made it on the most consecutive
anticipated
game of the year list, it's probably Last Guardian.
Probably. Team Ico only made two games, but those two games had such an aesthetic potency that I'll never forget the time I spent with them. In the years since, so many smaller developers have made games inspired by Ico and Shadow of the Colossus that a small part of me wonders if something like The Last Guardian should still resonate with me as strongly as its predecessors. There is no question, though, that I want to play it.
All right. That's
number four, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. The first Mirror's Edge was a flawed game, but
but it was still good.
But I was completely on board with everything it was trying to do, and though it did have problems, it did a lot of things really, really well. I added an extra really there because I really feel he means that.
Nah.
In the years since, no one has made a game like it, and that's a damn shame. But in 2016, we're finally going to get another Mirror's Edge. Major kudos to EA for taking a chance on this game, not once, but twice.
If people liked Mirror's Edge, you'd probably like Dying Light. They have a lot of similarities outside of you can still use guns in Dying Light, but they're not focused on them. It's mostly melee stuff. So there's definitely more combat, but the parkour is definitely there, which is fun, which is like the main hook, I guess.
Yeah. And I heard that they kind of streamlined it a bit. So, I guess we'll find out how that works out.
Yeah.
Cool. Number three on his list, Street Fighter V. The best time to play a fighting game is right after it comes out. That's always been true. It's just as true for Street Fighter V, even knowing that Capcom's got big plans for this game's DLC. Even knowing there's no story mode at launch, I don't care about any of that. What I want is to be part of the excitement that will surround this game throughout the year, on Twitter, on Twitch, at Evo, and beyond. By the time 2016 is over, I'll be shocked if this isn't my game of the year. That having been said, right now, there are two more games about which I'm more excited.
Oh, all right.
Number two, and I am pretty hype about this one myself, is Persona 5. This should probably be higher on my list. After all, Persona 3 is my favorite game of all time.
Oh, wow.
But that was a game of a particular time in my life. I don't think any game could capture quite the same magic for me as Persona 3, but if any can, it's going to be Persona 5. It's going to be stylish as hell, and that's something that I look for in a game just as much as now than I ever did. And number one, this is a shocker to me, Nier Automata.
Is that the new one?
So Nier 2, basically. Normally, I would say there's no way this thing is making its projected 2016 release date, considering what little we've seen of this thus far. But this is Platinum we're talking about, so it could actually happen. This thing looks brilliantly bizarre, and I cannot wait to see more of it. And his honorable mentions has to go to Res Infinite. I didn't put it on my list because it's a game I played many, many times before, but for this list, I wanted to focus on new games. But there are a few things more exciting to me than the idea of being able to play this game in VR. Chris can attest to this.
Yes, I can.
All the best, MC Wilson.
I've very rarely seen MC as excited as he was after he tried Res in HD, or in VR, when we were at PlayStation Experience. I asked him how it was, and I swear to God, his entire face lit up. And I was like, it was awesome! I'm like, MC, this is a side of you I've never seen before, you know? It's like, yeah, he had, it looked like it was really good. So, yeah, understand that. Good deal. Good list. Thanks.
Good list. All right. Hi, once again, Indus Peoples. And this is coming from Mr. Rob Paris.
Is this off Facebook?
No, this is an email.
That email is not a top five.
This is not a top five. That's all of our emails for the top five most anticipated games. Let's go to Jeff Chorney.
All right. And we'll go from
Facebook
from
fans.
Jeff Chorney to Jeff Wildman. His top five are Homefront Revolution, which is actually in beta right now. Closed beta, but it's in beta. His other one is Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Nice.
Number three, The Division.
Nice.
Four, Quantum Break. And five, Doom.
Okay.
I guess Quantum Break and Doom don't get in nice from Chris, Jeff. So three out of your five is approved by Chris Riccio. He does have long term ones, but I'm not gonna read them, Jeff, because you knew the rules. You can't just name every single game you want to play in 2016.
You have to learn your lesson.
Exactly.
This is the only way.
It's a good list. We go down further on here. We got Omir. He says, or Omir, sorry, I say Omir because I work with a guy named Omir. He says Deus Ex, Human Revolution. That's two for that. Hitman. It's first Hitman nomination. I think that's pretty soon, actually. That's episodic. Uncharted 4, Persona 5, and then he did add in a last one. He substituted out The Division for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice.
So that's his five most anticipated games of the year. Greg Little.
What's up, Greg?
Says The Division.
Okay.
Uncharted 4. No Man's Sky.
Nice.
Horizon.
Nice.
Dark Souls 3.
Okay.
And then he does have one runner-up, or I guess honorable mention. That's PlayStation Online 2 on PS4, but the Japanese version because Sega somehow still hates us.
Oh, Phantasy Star Online?
Yeah. What did I say?
PlayStation Online.
Oh, I meant Phantasy Star Online. Sorry.
I saw
PSO.
What are you talking about?
That's how long it's been since I played a Phantasy Star game, because I'm just used to seeing PSO as PlayStation Online. Ryan Wierowski, Sniper Maverick. His top five are The Division, Doom, Deus Ex Mankind Divided, Quantum Break, and Mass Effect Andromeda, to which he puts in brackets, One Can Hope.
Now, Quantum Break did get delayed until next year, right?
Mm-mm.
No, it didn't.
Got delayed until
no,
this
it's coming
year.
Out April 5th.
Oh, okay. I don't
Scalebound got. We went over this last
bound.
Week.
Yes,
Scalebound
right.
got
you're
delayed
right.
next
we
year.
We did go over this next week. Last week.
last week.
We went over this next week. We probably will.
Wow. yes.
We probably will, Jeff. We probably will.
Did we mention to you that Chris turned 47 last week too? So
memory's the first thing to go, baby.
So Quantum Break got delayed, right?
Well, technically, you are right. Did it get delayed?
It did. Yeah. Correct. Into this year.
Yes.
This is a new year. It is 2016.
That's all the Facebookers.
Cool. All right. Let's do ours. Do we want to do like rotating, or do we want to just rate off our list?
Let's just knock it out.
Let's just knock it out. It'll be really quick.
All right. Travis, why don't you go first? We already saw your video, so.
Yeah, I think plenty of people know mine and everything like that. But yeah, if you don't know mine before this one, please go to our YouTube page and hit subscribe, and you'll get all of our anticipated games in video form.
Exactly.
Coming in number five, I have Dark Souls Thrace.
Thrace.
No big surprise
Thrace.
There. You're really into Dark Souls right now, so.
Yeah, super excited about that, man. What's not to get excited about? And this looks like it could be the last rodeo for a while for From Software. We'll see. If this game sells well, I doubt it's their last one. So we'll see. We'll see. Number four, Uncharted 4. It's fucking Uncharted. It's going to be great.
It's Uncharted, and there's a 4. Yeah. So we have to be, and it's pretty. It's pretty.
And Sully's gonna die in this one. Watch it. Number three, Mass Effect Andromeda. So this was alluded to earlier. I think this is coming out this year.
You think
year.
So? Because I really did not put it on my list because I didn't think it was coming out this year.
I do. I think that, you know, EA is, you know, looking at Ubisoft has got a lot of big things coming down the pipeline. They got a big release with Division. We may see Ghost Recon. Square Enix is going to be releasing, you know, Final Fantasy most likely. I mean, we're seeing a lot of big titles, and I think EA needs one, and this would be their biggest hardcore
franchise. I'll
tell you what,
this would be a good time for them to do it. Like this holiday season, mm-hmm. I think that would be a really good time for them to do it, considering
I see
things like Assassin's Creed. That.
I see him pulling the
fallout. They might. I mean, bring it, you know, much. E3, you show up, you talk about it and say, oh yeah, and it's coming out in November. It's like, fuck, okay.
And then everybody
I'd be fine
flips
with that.
Out.
Yeah. I don't think anybody on this podcast is going to complain about that shit.
Hell no.
I mean, we're looking at almost 3 years.
Since
three? 3.5 years.
Yeah. Since they announced it?
Since they have announced
really?
That they're
Has
working
it been
that on
long?
This game. Hmm. It's been a long time.
Okay.
So I think
thought it was only been like a year. But
they announced that they were working on a Mass Effect game several years ago.
Yeah.
They named it Andromeda last year.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Correct. But yeah, but that's the thing. It's like we still don't know anything about this game.
To
virtually.
Be fair, we didn't know anything about Fallout.
That no, you know? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
so
right.
So I think it's following suit with what Bethesda did.
I would love that.
Yes. Number two, the game that warped our fragile little minds, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes.
I haven't flipped out about a game trailer like this. You know what we saw that first time with Horizon. What was it? Was it PSX or was it
E3?
It was E3, I think.
It was E3. Yeah. But I remember we were all in a
party chat room
together. Yeah, and we were listening to it and everything.
My wife flipped out on it too.
I mean, just an amazing game. Like it looks so great, and even you know later on they showed another trailer, kind of a similar area than what the first trailer was shown, and they showed that there's actually you know. Role-playing elements rooted into this. You know, you attack, numbers pop up and everything. So gear, you know, there's going to be gear to unlock and open world to travel. I mean, the game just got better and better and better. And I think they did the perfect thing. They announced this fucking game. They blew our minds. They gave us another deeper dive into it with some developer commentary. And then nothing.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything about it since
nothing.
Then.
Nothing. I don't want anything. Give me a fucking... release release week trailer to hype it up, and that's it. I don't want no more gameplay. I don't want no more anything. This is one game where like I don't want to know anything else. I just want to play it. So, and number one with a bullet, Persona 5. Everything that MC said, except for the fact that mine's number one. I love fucking Persona. I fucking love it. I played Persona 3 after 4, so it was kind of a downgrade from going to Persona 4 Golden into Persona 3, but still enjoyed it almost just as much as 4. But yeah, super hype, man. I mean, this is the JRPG to get. Final Fantasy can come out day and date, and I will get Persona 5 first.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Cool. Thank you, sir. Jeff, you want to go or you want me to go?
It doesn't matter, man.
Go ahead.
I'll go. Okay. In no particular order, Horizon. That's obviously on there.
We talked about that.
I refuse to say the subtitle because it's fucking dumb. They need to just get rid of it, or just get rid of it.
Yeah, I said that in my video. Yeah. Everything's great. The only shitty part about that is that fucking subtitle's gotta go.
Quantum Break. We talked about that. It's fucking Remedy. Remedy has never made a bad game. And this game's been in the works forever. So, and it looks so fucking good. Can't wait. That's so soon. Doom. That wasn't even going to be on my most anticipated, even close. So I played that alpha and I fucking love it. And it's coming out in May.
That looked really like, I don't even know how to describe how that looked when I saw it. It's like.
Gross.
I thought that was awesome.
It's pretty fucking gross.
But I don't know. It was so frantic. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. It was frantic and it looked like a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah. So it looks like they're going to that old school, like totally Twitch, just fucking like everything's thrown at you. Just action. Looks awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
Deus Ex.
Did you guys, I'm sorry real quick, did you guys watch the Clueless Gamer? The Conan
yes,
O'Brien
I did watch
Clueless
that.
Gamer
yeah,
review?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's it's one of his better ones. Yeah. I really enjoyed
of what?
That. So.
Doom.
Conan O'Brien does game reviews.
He did Doom?
Yeah,
he did Doom.
Yeah. Really? like the beta?
There's the full game. Like, I think that game's pretty
really?
Far. Like, he gets a lot of games early. He doesn't do it.
Yeah,
it's
not
like an official review, but they play it on the show with guests and stuff. Yeah, so, but they had it and they played a bunch of it.
Yeah. You get good gameplay.
Yeah.
All right.
You get good gameplay.
Cool.
Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. Nice. I mean, yeah. I fucking love Human Revolution, like, so much. And the next one, I didn't think anyone was also going to name this, but I think it was Greg did, but Zelda Wii U. First of all, I want something to play on my fucking Wii U, and I want a true built from the ground up HD open world Zelda.
And you'll get one on the NX.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think it'll still be on the Wii U as well, but I'm not going to buy it.
Next year sometime, maybe.
We'll see. And I could have a bunch of honorable mention. My honorable mention goes without saying because it's really my number one, but I just can't mention it because it's like Street Fighter V.
Next
so
week.
That goes with,
it's
that
next
goes
week.
With me. It's not because it's that week, just because like me saying Street Fighter V is one of the most anticipated games, like saying that you need to breathe to live, you know? It's just, like, it's just obvious. It's just.
That's like saying, no that's shit. Like me looking forward to a Castlevania that's coming out this year. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. it's automatic. So that's it.
Cool. All right. I'll go through mine rather quickly. These, again, are no particular order. A couple that we've talked about already, Horizon Zero Dawn and Uncharted 4. Both of those are definitely going to be in day one purchases and will probably take up all my gaming time while I'm playing them. Along that with that is No Man's Sky. I still think that game is I don't know what it's going to do, but from a technical standpoint, I am just very curious. Neither does anybody else. But from a technical standpoint, I am too curious not to buy this game.
Meanwhile, there are two games on Steam pre-release right now that you can play
that
do the exact fucking thing as No Man's Sky.
Really? Like, what are they?
Yeah.
What are they?
You can go straight. I got to go to my Steam account. I'm not going to do it right now, but I can tell you after air.
Yeah, yeah.
There
drop
are two
me
games.
An email or something like that.
I will. Yeah.
The others that I have on my list, Last Guardian, which, I mean, of course, I was such a big fan of, Shadow of the Colossus. And, you know, I wasn't quite the fan of Ico, but I think that, this doesn't look like it's babysitted a person, you know, so, we'll see how that works out, but it looks fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to it. And then, Mirror's Edge, because I really liked the first one, even though I couldn't get through it because I originally on PS3, I got frustrated with the inability to, counter with the gunplay. And then on PC, I just never finished it up. I had actually gotten about halfway through the game and I just stopped playing it. But, yeah, really, really looking forward to that. I do have a couple of honorable mentions that I'm going to mention real quick. Deus Ex is one of them and ReCore for Xbox One. I don't know why, but that game really looks interesting to me. So I can't wait to check it out.
I don't know if that's this year. That's
well, I mean,
dude, Inafune can even put out a fucking side-scrolling Mega Man game in 4 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
that's fair. But right now, it's on the list for 2016, so I have it on there.
Fair enough.
All right. But that is it for me. And I think that's it for most anticipated,
that
right?
That is. I think that's right. In the bag, yo.
Yes, sir.
We nailed it.
Thank you guys for listening to that. Let's move on. We've got some, let me do some new releases real quick. And then we have one more email that I'll pass back over to Travis. So next week is Street Fighter V. That's coming out for PS4 and PC. I don't think we need to go. Well, okay. So I'm going to mention that game and then I'm going to mention Rocket League for Xbox One. And then we're done, right? We don't really need to talk about
that. Those are the
else.
Only two games you really need to list.
There are a couple of other ones on here that are worth mentioning. Well, there's one other one that's really worth mentioning in the, Project X Zone 2. That's for 3DS. Mitsurugi Kamui Hakai. I don't know what that is, but, it's for PS4. And then let's see, Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc.
Danganronpa, yeah.
Danganronpa.
Those are supposed to be pretty good. I never played
really?
Before. Yeah, they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, the one that I figured was going to matter is Fire Emblem Fates Birthright. So that's coming out next week as well. So
I didn't realize that was next week.
Yeah, I didn't either. That is your new release list. So pick of the week.
Division Open Beta.
Oh, is that next week?
Isn't that
no,
next week?
It's not.
I thought it was weekend.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is next week.
Oh, it is next week.
It is next week. Yeah, yeah. It's like Thursday or something like that.
So there's that too.
I'm going Street Fighter V because I already have Rocket League. But if you don't have Rocket League, but get fucking Rocket League.
Yeah, I will.
Chris, what about
I'm
you?
Going Rocket League because I probably will not buy Street Fighter V.
Street Fighter.
Cool. So Chris, I must apologize. I was wrong. There are not two games that are just like No Man's Sky. I apologize. There are four games that are just like No Man's Sky.
All right. So why
Infinity,
don't you tell me?
I was like, is Travis gonna eat some humble pies? Like, no.
They're called Infinity Battlescape, White Space, Evacron Legacy, and Star Citizen. All four.
Well, Star
Citizen
isn't out yet either, though.
It's pre-release. You can play this. Oh, you can actually go planet right now, just like a No Man's Sky.
Gotcha.
All right, well, I will check those out, too. If my computer worked, I might actually buy some of them. all right, so that was new releases. So let's move on to the email. Travis, you want to take that out?
Email. Yeah, this time it's from, Rob Paris. Who'd have thunk it, right?
I never would have thought. Never would have guessed.
He says, hi, once again, Indus Peoples. I'm listening to your latest episode with your discussion about Dark Zones, and I wanted to chime in from the perspective of someone who has played games with a similar sort of gameplay for some time. As a little background, I have a few hundred hours in the Arma 2 mod version of DayZ, and about 60 in the standalone version itself. The core appeal of these games are the interactions between players, wondering if the guy you just ran into is going to be a complete another dick and shoot you and take your stuff, or if they're going to trade you some beans so you don't starve to death. The whole point of these games is the tension that these situations create. In DayZ, I would say that about 90% of people I ran into were nice, well-meaning people, but it is has the potential of running into the other 10% that gives the game that excitement, that tension. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of feeling that they are trying to go with in the Dark Zone areas, albeit a lighter version of it. I completely understand that this may not be for everyone and agree that perhaps it will need more refinement. I take into account that the game has not come out yet, so we don't know if there are any more that goes into these systems. I also hope that this will remain an optional way of progressing in the game loot-wise. What I would love to see is them implement... is something similar to the bandit-slash-hero system in DayZ, the idea being that if you go rogue enough times, your character's outward appearance to other players changes, perhaps even just a different color text for your name or something similar.
Cool.
Once you reach this bandit status, other players are incentivized to kill you before you get a chance to kill them before they get a chance to kill you. This would create an increased risk versus reward to begin to being a bandit constantly. The key to this would be not to make people go rogue when they kill a bandit. A simpler solution would be just increase the amount of time it takes you to lose your rogue status. Based on how many times you've previously gone rogue, an easy way to increase the risk increases the risk of being a dick. Regardless, very excited for this game. I never got on well with Destiny, despite being massively hyped for it, so hoping this doesn't fall short like that did. Sorry for the long email. Much love, Robert Paris, and you never apologize for a long email. Never.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. I also think when you said the whole thing about playing DayZ and like it's like the 10% that do that, I think in a griefing game like this, people eventually get dedicated to it, and then I think all the people that would do that stuff kind of get filtered out the longer the game people play the game. Because people that do that just get bored after a while if they're not taking the game seriously. They're just like,
sure,
eh.
Sure.
Whatever.
One can hope. One can hope.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that was all the emails. Do you guys want to pull out one of our questions of the week from Facebook?
I do. I have one right here.
All right. Well, let's hear it. Let's do it.
This one comes from Jay Hester. He says, here's one. Have you ever bought a console or a game just to keep up with the Joneses? With a quote. He goes into a long thing. He basically said that he basically bought, he has like a long description here, but he basically says like he basically bought an Xbox, 360 at Circuit City, he bought a 360. Basically, he buys them just to have them, to kind of like have all the consoles, but he really only sticks to his PlayStation. So he's basically saying like he just buys them. They kind of just end up collecting dust, but he feels he has a need to buy them anyway. So basically, that's the question. Have you guys ever bought a game, a console, whatever, just to keep up with the zeitgeist, so to speak? And, yeah. And if so, what were they? And some backstory, some anecdotes that go with that.
This sounds like a good question to me. I look forward to it.
I love it.
Me too. If you would like to answer the question of the week, please send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
Leet.
Were you going to say something, Travis?
I was going to say leet.
But not really.
No, before I started asking, saying the email, you sounded like you were going to say something.
I was going to ask you if it's been too long since I said I loved you. I don't know.
I love you too, Travis.
Travis is going bowling. Just let
finish. What?
Just going bowling?
Yeah.
Is that a saying?
I just made it up now. So
it is now.
It is now. Yeah,
Travis,
exactly.
Travis you know is going bowling.
As long as you know what I'm talking about.
That is the title of this episode. Yeah. Travis is going bowling. So.
I'm picking up my spares.
Travis, I'm writing this down so I don't forget, is going bowling. All right. Check us out on Facebook, Google+, Steam, Stitcher, and Twitch. Search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us. Or on Facebook.
And YouTube.
Yeah, and YouTube. On Facebook, look for us as Indus Hub. And, mm-hmm. follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast or
happening.
Indus Questions. And, or you can follow us individually. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff. And that.
I have one more thing to say.
Go for it.
If you're joining that Indus Hub on the Facebooks, we're going to do like a weekly thing called, Weekly Reminiscing, where we talk about, some kind of big console game launch. And we basically go to tell some anecdotes and stories of the first time you saw and played said console or game. This week we did Street Fighter 2 and, quite a few people in there are telling those first stories of when they first played Street Fighter 2 and whatever.
They're really great stories too.
And,
really great stories.
Yeah,
a lot of those stuff,
there.
A lot of that stuff resonated with me, like what I was feeling the first time I saw game. It was really good.
Yeah, that was cool.
If you post them in there, on days where we don't have like a, you know, one of the content, we don't have like question of the week or something like that, we're going to pull from those and we're actually going to try to add that in a segment, if not weekly, maybe bi-weekly into the show. So, check it out on Facebook and, you know, put in your 2 cents, especially this week on Street Fighter 2. Where were you when that game came out and what did you think?
Oh man. I should definitely contribute to that because I have some good stories about Street Fighter 2 when it came out.
There's something about it, and we'll never experience it again. I mean,
never,
obviously, you know,
ever,
you go to a place like Evo, so everybody's cheering for like one big fight, and it's an amazing experience. But there's something
in arcade dingy,
like going into an arcade, and there's like 12 people huddled around one machine, and just people are just rooting for, you know, the guys who are fighting.
The guy who's not the cocky asshole who just knows everything. It's
older younger generations. That are after us have never experienced that, never will.
No, God, no, unfortunately.
And it is such a, oh man, it's, if there's one thing you younger gamers need to look back on, or look forward to having a chance of doing one day, it's that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a fun experience. So, I'm sorry, I'm still picking up spares over here.
You know what I mean. No worries. I gotcha.
I get really,
that 10-2
really
split,
deep.
Buddy.
I really is the 7-10 split.
Is it 7-10? Whatever.
What did you say? 10-2?
I don't 10-2? Bowl.
The 10-2. Chris, that's, I think that's pretty easy to pick up.
It is a split though. To be fair, it is a split. He's right. It is a split. Well, that's it. Right, guys? I mean, you guys have anything else before we wrap up?
No,
you guys
want to
talk about
good.
Hitting spares more? I mean, that's fine
with
me.
No, I'm good.
All right. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Travis, what were you going to say?
Cool.
I was going to say that that 10 pin was always my Achilles heel.
It's my vice, dude.
That 10 pin. Is that your bitch too, man?
It's my vice, dude.
Is that the right hand, far right hand pin?
It's a far right pin. Yeah. Yeah.
I had to start bowling with a, pull just a house ball. I used to have to pull a house ball for my 10 pin.
I try and throw my regular ball straight, which is difficult.
It's so, very difficult. Do you wear a bracelet now?
No.
See, I do. So I always get that curve. So I either have to take my brace off for every 10 pins. Or, it was brutal.
Yeah, it's rough. But, yeah. All right.
Bowling.
Until next time. My name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
Metaphors.
It's Hefe, man.
Bowl your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
My name's Jeff.
Sun's out. Guns out.
Guns out. Guns out. Guns out.